This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:03. It's great to have you with us for the Monday edition of the Noon Business Hour as another trading week is underway. I'm Cisco Cotto with Stock Picker Monday. That's coming up at 12:49 this afternoon. Right now, the Federal Reserve holds a two-day policy meeting this week. Key numbers on manufacturing and retail sales will also be released. We're joined by David Jones, chairman of DMJ Advisors, based in Denver, author of the book Understanding Central Banking. David, it's good to have you back on the show. Let's talk about the Fed. What do you expect out of this policy meeting?
No change, Cisco. It's steady as she goes. Remember, the Fed front-loaded a mountain of liquidity at the beginning of this pandemic. Between mid-March and mid-May, they bought $2.5 trillion in government securities. That's unheard of. And another $600 billion in agency mortgage-backed securities, pumping in a huge amount of liquidity into the economy. And I think the Fed will just sit, wait, and watch to see how things are going after flooding the economy in the way it did.
At this point, there's really no reason for them to take any sort of emergency action or any sort of quick action. I mean, it sounds like that wait-and-see approach that you're talking about is the one that makes sense.
It does. It does indeed. Remember that great comment from Chairman Powell, I'm not even considering the possibility of a rate hike at any point that I can see in the future. So they're just going to watch the process. To some extent, that liquidity, Cisco, is going into speculation in the stock market, I think, and maybe even in real estate. But the Fed's willing to pay that price to see the economy start to rebound in the third quarter.
As you think about some of the data points that'll be released this week, I'm thinking manufacturing, retail sales. What do you see is the most important to gauge how things are going?
Well, we always have to look at that consumer demand, which is 70% of the economy. And I think consumers are still uncertain. We saw a drop off in consumer confidence to a 6-year low. I think they're still a little bit uneasy about progress, particularly in terms of the Congress adding more stimulus, given how polarized it is. It can't seem to do anything. And I think there's still a lot of uncertainty about the job outlook, although we have seen some very good monthly job increases in the last 2 to 3 months. So the consumer, I think, is willing to spend, but they're still in a cautious frame of mind. And we will have a recovery in the third quarter, but there's still a lot of uncertainty around.
The fact that they're cautious, that seems to be a challenge for the economy because you have a lot of people who are working. Obviously, many are unemployed, but you have a lot who are working. And yet, because of the fear of what might happen to their job, they're not spending money like they ordinarily would.
That's exactly right. You hit the nail on the head. You know, we've never had anything like this. We still have to go back to this unprecedented situation with the coronavirus and the shutdown in the economy and the shock to the typical consumer of possibly losing his or her job for no good reason in their minds. And so it'll take a while to dig out. I would just add that the Fed has been really cautious about this. Chairman Powell said half the economy depends on progress in fighting this coronavirus. And I am encouraged by the possibility of new vaccines and some of these drug-related advances you were mentioning in terms of helping the stock market. But it's still going to take a while.
Thanks so much. That is David Jones, chairman of DMJ Advisors. He's also author of the book Understanding Central Banking. Coming up, we now know which U.S. tech giant will be acquiring TikTok. Oracle is confirming an agreement with Chinese-based ByteDance to buy the popular social media app TikTok. Let's talk about the deal with John Freeman, Vice President, CFRA Research, based in Falls Church, Virginia. John, this has been a sweepstakes between Oracle and Microsoft. Is that correct?
Yeah, it has. And I have to say the whole process, as well as the prospect of a service like TikTok being owned by a company like Oracle, which is really focused on very large enterprise customers, it's just odd. It is very, the whole thing is a little weird, I must say.
So what was behind Oracle even making a drive for this?
I think it was, it's tough to say specifically, but if I had to speculate, one is Oracle really kind of wants to be, you know, they're really trying to leap forward and become more of, you know, a forward-thinking, forward-looking a company, you know, and just like Microsoft, invested in LinkedIn and went into the search business, you know, I think maybe there was some pressure to, you know, we've got to be a part of this too, because that's the future. So I think it was partly that. And then partly, I think it had to do with the fact that perhaps there's a political aspect to this, right? And Larry Ellison is known to be one of the very few big tech CEOs that is a supporter of President Trump, where the rest are, you know, typically lean more Democratic. So maybe that seemed to have something to do with it as well.
And the deal needs U.S. approval, and there's a lot of political tension involving China. So perhaps that will help move things through, as the president had threatened to shut TikTok down.
Yeah, but I hear you on that, and no doubt they, you know, it's kind of odd. They are literally going to review it at the White House, which is a little bit of an unprecedented sort of situation. But the thing that I thought was the oddest is there's no real terms of the deal. We don't know what the deal is, right? So we don't know what Oracle's paying. So it's difficult to see what the synergy may be, but apparently there an outright acquisition with full control by Oracle is off the table. So I don't know if that changes the perspective of the White House and the government with regard to, you know, approval of the deal. So because, you know, we don't know what the terms of the deal are. So I think that's still a question mark.
So Oracle stock up about 4.33% today. What do you make of the stock, assuming this deal goes through? Or, as you're saying, since we don't really know the terms, can we not really say?
To be clear, I mean, I've had a sell recommendation on Oracle because of the, you know, its struggle to grow. You know, it really hasn't grown revenue since 2014, and I think that's the case going to be for a couple of years forward. So that's a tough thing.
Thanks so much. That's John Freeman, Vice President, CFRA Research, based in Virginia. Up next, Amazon continues its hiring binge, including here in Chicago.
The only program dedicated to currency events. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Amazon set to hire 100,000 workers to keep up with surging demand, including more than 5,000 in the Chicago area. Let's talk about it with Albie Galoon, senior reporter at Crain's Chicago Business. Albie, we'll get more than 5,000 workers here in Chicagoland, and it's certainly welcome in a time like this with so many people unemployed.
Yeah, it certainly is. I mean, this is one bright spot in an economy that really doesn't have many these days. So 5,000 jobs will make a difference. But it's given what's happened in the last 6 months with our economy, it's still kind of a drop in the bucket. I hate to say that, but, you know, our unemployment rate is 11.3%. The Chicago area lost more than 570,000 jobs between May of 19 and May of 2020. So, you know, we still got a lot of ground to make up that we've lost in these last 6 months.
And because of those stats, I would imagine that there's going to be a lot of people in line trying to get these Amazon jobs.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, part of the reason that Amazon is announcing this today is because they want to hire people. So they're trying to get the word out. And they actually just opened a new fulfillment center in Shanahan, southwest of Joliet. They got about 1,000 people working there. They've got some really big fulfillment centers opening up in Madison and Markham down in the south suburbs. And, you know, they're also moving into the city. They're planning a distribution center in Pullman. They've got one opening in Engage Park, and they're working on a delivery station in Bridgeport as well. So a lot going on.
So these are the warehouse jobs, the people moving the packages, packing the boxes, that kind of stuff.
Exactly. So these are, you know, they're relatively low skill jobs. I've had, you know, somebody describe them to me as not as good as, say, the, you know, manufacturing jobs of union, you know, union manufacturing jobs of 30 to 40 years ago. But they're, you know, they're better than retail jobs.
And is this just expected to continue here? We keep hearing reports of Amazon wanting to build more and more facilities, especially along expressways.
Well, so Amazon has been going on a real estate binge. They've leased this year, they've leased more than 14 million square feet of industrial space, which is just a staggering number. And so now they're really going on a hiring binge. So this is really, this 5,500 jobs is kind of the beginning. They're expected to hire as many as 15,000 people in the Chicago area, say, over the next year or two. So there are going to be a lot more jobs coming.
And it's expected that those are longer-term jobs. Some people are afraid maybe it's like a hiring binge around the holidays for that kind of busy season. That's not what this is.
Well, you know, they did say these are full-time jobs and part-time jobs. They do ramp up hiring around the holidays. They haven't really broken out the numbers for us. So, you know, I would guess based on what's happened in the past that, you know, some of the jobs, at least this time around, are might be seasonal jobs, but we just don't know how many.
Thanks so much. That is Albie Galoon. Always good information. He's senior reporter at Crain's Chicago Business. Still ahead, the pandemic impacts a well-loved candy. Will you have Peeps at Halloween? Paper towels are also tough to get again. Remember, you can always find a podcast of the Noon Business Hour on our website, WBBMNewsRadio.com, the Radio.com app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Money talks as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The Noon Business Hour presented by the Village of Bedford Park, our Monday stock picker coming up at 12:49. Markets are starting the week on a positive note. We're joined by Chris Everett, financial planner and president of Everett Wealth Solutions in Forest Park. Chris, what do you make of what you're seeing here on the first day of trading this week?
Well, I see the NASDAQ is starting to go down a little bit. Actually, you know, so I've been looking at all the happy news, right? I was listening to the report about Amazon becoming a real estate mogul, essentially, right? Buying up real estate all over. And I think that's positive. You know, we have vaccine information that's positive, yet I still see weakness. So I'm kind of waiting to see if NASDAQ is going to close above 1150 today. It's not looking very positive that it's going to do that right now. And if it doesn't, I'm concerned that then we're going to start really going to go down maybe another 8 to 10%.
How are you feeling about the values of some of those tech stocks? I mean, do you think that they were expensive and we needed at least a little bit of a pullback or not?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Without question. And so I'm looking for a nice buy opportunity, and I just don't see it today.
And that's the thing. It's great to have you say that, because when things are coming back down, a lot of people get fearful. It seems, though, that the really successful investors go, no. When is it time to start getting in here? When is it time to start buying some of these things?
Yeah, I wouldn't bring fear into the equation. I'd just bring some sanity into the equation and say, okay, since we know we're in this amazing run-up over the next multiple tens of years in technology, whether we're talking distributed ledger, all of the biotech innovations that are out there, just so many things in that area, it kind of makes for a long-term brilliance to be in technology of some variety, even Bitcoin. But we need such a dramatic pullback before I'm ready to be a buyer.
Well, so many people, it seems like they feel like if they want substantial growth, kind of outperforming the indexes, they feel like they have to go to tech. And I mean, is that ordinarily the safe bet?
Well, I guess that's what I really mean. I think we're in the upward trend where tech innovations are really going to lead us out over the next several years. I mean, when you look back long term, there have been so many innovations that have just really brought our country forward. I mean, you can go back all the way to the 1800s. Right now, the big innovation is tech-based. So I think that is the way to go, but not at these prices.
Yeah, make it a little better valuation. We've seen gold doing pretty well here. What do you make of that?
Now, you know, that's one of my favorite topics, Cisco. And listen, and it's been doing so well for the last year, and I think it will continue to do well as people, you know, they get nervous about all the Fed printing, right, all the money printing. And so there's that mentality out there that just gravitates toward gold simply because of all the money printing. There's a little bit of weakness right now, so maybe there's a better buying opportunity coming there, but still a good long-term play. We're still in that. I'm still not giving it up.
And is that a safe haven for you, or do you get in at certain points trying to actually make a little?
I think it is a long-term safe haven. I think that some of the reason Bitcoin is also performing and will probably be a good long-term performer because people are just nervous. I mean, when you look around the globe, all we've had is massive money printing. And so there's always going to be that mentality that will rush toward alternative strategy just for safety.
Thanks so much. That's Chris Everett. Always good to have you on the show. Financial planner and president of Everett Wealth Solutions in Forest Park.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It can still be a challenge to find paper towels, including at Costco and Amazon. Also, this Halloween is not going to include a popular candy. Let's find out what's going on. Phil Lempert is here, founder of SupermarketGuru.com, based in Los Angeles. Phil, let's begin with the paper towels. We understood at the beginning of the pandemic, everyone was hoarding them, but now what's going on? Why is there a shortage?
Well, Cisco, two things. We're still hoarding them. We're still nervous about paper towels. And number two is we want the brand that we want. So, for example, Bounty happens to be my brand. When I see Bounty on the shelves, I buy, you know, an extra package if the store is allowing me. A lot of stores are still limiting it to one package. So we're going to continue to see that. And one of the reasons early on in the pandemic, and I don't know if you did this, I did this. I went on Amazon and I bought whatever kind of toilet paper I could and, you know, got it delivered about 3 weeks later. And it turned out to be these tiny little rolls. The picture, you know, on Amazon didn't look like they were, you know, 4-inch rolls. They looked like they're normal sized toilet paper. And I got stuck with those. And the quality of them just wasn't there. So because of those kinds of experiences that I think a lot of people have had, when they see Bounty, when they see Viva, when they see whatever their favorite brand is, they're still hoarding them.
So the manufacturers, I mean, is this because they're not able to ramp up production as quickly as they otherwise might be able to do? I mean, it seems like it takes a long time for them to just start making more.
Yes. The problem is, and actually Walmart really instituted this practice called just-in-time probably about a decade ago. And the idea is that you didn't want to have a lot of stock sitting in the back room of a Walmart or of a supermarket. So manufacturing changed to calculate when that store is going to run out of paper. So that reduced the cost of inventory, both for the manufacturer as well as for the retailer. So that's the system that's in place now. And frankly, whether it be food or toilet tissue or paper towels, that's one of the problems that we've got that the industry is now coping with and trying to change. Understanding that just-in-time did have some economies of scale when there's a pandemic, whether there's another problem and so on, we just don't have enough quantity. So that's why you're also seeing major brands like Progresso Soup, like Campbell Soup, other companies, you know, decreasing increasing the amount of products that they have so that they can really shore up their inventories if there is another wave of COVID-19 or if there's another problem or a hurricane or any other situation that we have that creates this hoarding mentality.
And it would be easier if those manufacturers, producers, if they knew, hey, this is the new way of life, this is the new normal, but they don't necessarily want to completely change things only to 6 months or 9 months from now have everything go back to the normal demand.
Cisco, you're 100% right. And also keep in mind, it's very expensive to change manufacturing procedures. So we're talking about billions and billions and billions of dollars having to be invested to change back to the old system. And they are doing a wait and see procedure to see, you know, if the pandemic is over, can we slightly build up inventories so we don't have a problem? A lot of supermarkets that have been built in the past years don't have the back rooms that the old ones did. So even if the manufacturers ramp up, it's going to have to sit in a warehouse. The question is it the manufacturer's warehouse? Is it the chain's warehouse? Because it's not going to be in the back room of a supermarket anymore.
Let's talk about Peeps. One of my best friends is a Peeps addict, but there's not going to be any at Halloween.
No, there's not. You know, Peeps is addictive. There's no question about it. I'm one of those people, too, that love it. So, you know, the Halloween Peeps, which were pumpkins, ghosts, monsters, Christmas Peeps, those aren't going to return back to the stores till 2021, the company says. They're also going to skip the Valentine's Day Peeps next year. And it's because of exactly what we were just talking about, that they have limited production. They don't have, they've been operating just in time, so they just can't make enough, and they want to keep the regular Peeps on the shelves, and especially the number one Peep, which are the chick-shaped Peeps. Those for Easter, they've got to make sure that they have those because, you know, that's about 2 billion Peeps a year.
Wow, a lot of people very unhappy about that, Phil. We get to be the bearers of very bad news for Halloween here.
No Peeps, no toilet paper, and no paper towels. Otherwise, we're fine.
Other than that, everything's great. Yeah. Thanks, Phil. We'll have you back again soon. Phil Lempert, founder of SupermarketGuru.com. Join us at this time tomorrow, Travel Tuesday. Just ahead, our Monday stock picker.
Making sense of your dollars. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Stock Picker Monday on the Noon Business Hour, sponsored by Wealth Management Group. Today joining us, David Brady, president of Brady Investment Counsel in Bloomington. David, good to have you on the show. What's your first pick?
How about the Container Store Group? They are a small cap retailer with about 93 stores across the United States. It's organizational products to your home, better organizing your garages and drawers and basements. They specialize in closets, though. We think from a longer-term point of view that the COVID situation has really changed things for the Container Store Group. Being at home and being organized has never been more valuable, and that's just right where the Container Store is. The challenge or opportunity from an investment standpoint is the company is small. So it's hardly anybody's online go-to today. But as we grow and add more stores, we think the product is sufficiently different that the company will build a brand over time and be one of the long-term winners.
So the $4.60 a share right now, where do you see it going?
Well, 2 years ago it was $12. So that's, a conservative guess over the next, say, 12 months would be somewhere in the $5.56 range. We really see their sales recovering from the, COVID store closures. And as we get into next year, especially, we'll see a big acceleration in sales. And compared to the market, the Container Store Group is going to be putting up some pretty impressive numbers. You just have to be patient.
All right. So that ticker symbol, TCS, the Container Store. What's your second pick?
I like Dick's Sporting Goods. Like the Container Store, we think Dick's business has been secularly impacted by COVID as well. We think, although to a lesser degree, we think people will be more participation-based than observation-based when it comes to their sporting activities. And Dick's, stands to really benefit from that trend. Dick's as well was very fortunate that they were undertaking, and really at the very late stages of a multi-year program to improve their stores and their online presence. And so when COVID hit, they were able to transition very quickly into the COVID world. And the results of their efforts really came forward very well in the most recent quarter they reported. It was probably, I'd say, the single best quarter that the company has ever reported. So we think this is a good one for long-term investors as well.
And that one, $57 a share. Where do you see it going? What's your 12-month target?
Yeah, and we're in that 12 to 15% range, certainly. But this is another one, too, where people could get excited about the increase in sales and earnings versus some of the companies that are leading the market today, especially. So, you know, we look for substantial longer-term upside, substantially higher than that.
Thanks so much. The two picks today from David Brady, The Container Store, TCS, and Dick's Sporting Goods, DKS. That's Stock Picker Monday. If you missed any part of the show, you can go to our stream and just skip back to the time you want. There's a pause and rewind function. It works both online and on the radio.com app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.